The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and are not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's Expository Thursday. Expository Thursday, as we work together to know the letter better into the narrative of the book of Acts, we travel to understand the things the Lord requires of us and to learn to apply God's timeless truths in our lives. First, suddenly. Let me just say that again. Suddenly. Let me say it faster. Suddenly. Like that. Suddenly. It only takes a moment for a miracle. We often think of God as the 11th hour rescuer, but that's a bit misleading. His timing is perfect, always. And when God does do something suddenly, we know, and it can be mind-blowing. Next, the mighty wind, the fire, and other symbols that testify to God, and a testimony, again, to the divinity of the Holy Spirit. It's not an accident that wind and fire are used in Acts chapter 2. They are immensely powerful statements from an immensely powerful God. And finally, divine empowerment has a purpose. The purpose and the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives is a tool for the gospel, not a toy or a trophy. The manifestations of the Holy Spirit are statements of grace. Whether we walk in love or extraordinary faith or even find ourselves in a moment of supernatural, each thing we do has a plan and a purpose to glorify God.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations. Spiritual observations. My life's insanities and oy vey. So much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? Now you can email us, david@hemustincrease.org. That's david@hemustincrease.org. You can also text us, 214-210-8483. That's available to you. And you can call us, 972-445-0770. Now, I thought of this one for Terrific Tea because Julianne, my daughter, and Easton Scott and the grandkids and Jared are going to travel in the next 2 or 3 weeks, rent out a place close to our house so that we can have an engagement with them. I'm really looking forward to seeing them because I haven't seen them in, I haven't had a chance to physically see them in a very, very long time. So when you do call that number, that 972-445-077 number, and T answers the phone, it's like spending time with family members that you like, that you really enjoy. Family members that are awesome to be around. That's cool. Versus family members that are like, yeah. I got a couple. You got a couple of us? I got a couple of family members. You're thinking, don't you guys want to go to Cancun or something?
Right. Same way.
We all go through that, folks. Let's just be honest. Here's the bottom line. You can call in for Bible trivia, for prayer requests, for praise reports, for something that the Lord's working or doing in your life. You can share. We want that to be there available for you. We want you to be encouraged in the Lord. It's our desire to help you take one step closer to the Lord each and every day, each and every time we have any kind of encounter together. Here's our first trivia question. What type of animal did Peter find, or what kind of, I guess we'll just go with animal. What kind of animal did Peter find a coin in its mouth to help pay the taxes? What kind of animal was it? Animal as opposed to human. Okay? That just that straightforward. All right. Al's stepping in. Good job right away. Here's the thing to remember. If you want to call in, you can call in. You don't have to. It's not a requirement. 972-445-0770. Or you can text in 214-210-8483. What kind of animal did Peter find the coin in? Remember, Jesus said, hey, we got a... pay taxes. Okay, here we go. Go do this. And what did he do and where did he find it? And we'll talk about that in a split second. And you can call in on that again, 972-445-0770. Don't forget, any topics open for conversation because it's not professional radio. I've only had 15 mistakes. 15. 15 mistakes since I started this show 30 minutes ago. That's all. It is just radio, folks. It's all it is. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience. So buckle up, little campers. Here we go. All right, couple things. We're getting ready to do the Book of Acts. So I'm excited because we're going to do Chapter 2. You're going to hear the Baptikos point of view. Not a lot of depth in what we're going to get into right off the bat. Let me double check with T. I think we'll probably want to do the website once, and then we'll go into it, right? I need you guys to remember the website. It's really simple why. The account is really low. That's why. So don't forget, hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. Okie dokie, artichokey. Here we go. Going to start off the reading. This is, we got to do our sound, right? We got to do our sound. So let's remember, it's expository Thursday sound time.
Wow! 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 All I can say is wow! 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 All I can say is wow!
Yep, that's all I can say. Wow. Okay, here we go. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Let's talk about the day of Pentecost, okay? I'm going to read you something. I found it was really easily written and nicely done, so I thought I'd just share it with you. Of the three significant Jewish festivals, there's more than three, but three significant. Pentecost is the Greek name for the Festival of Weeks, a prominent feast in the Jewish calendar that's celebrating God giving the Ten Commandments 50 days after the Exodus from Egypt. So you know how they exited Egypt, right? And they were like, cool, like we're alive again, like the resurrection-y kind of thing, like we've come back to life. Well, 50 days later, that's when they got the commandments on the Exodus in Egypt. God instructed his people to celebrate the Festival of Weeks, which was to be held 7 full weeks, which is 49 days, plus one day, so that's 50 days, equaling 50. And what's important to understand is Pentecost is the Greek word for 50. That's what the whole point is. It's also called the Feast of Harvest. This was when the Jews would present offerings of their first fruits of their spring crops. Jewish law required all adult Jewish men to come to Jerusalem from wherever they were living to personally be in attendance for the celebration. So that's the day that this is all taking place. The day of Pentecost had fully come. They were fully in the swing of it, right? And bam, something happens. Now, for those that want to do a little bit more study, Leviticus 23, 15, and 16 is where you find out about the Feast of Weeks. Okay, that's where you get the information for that. But Pentecost, again, is Greek for 50. And what was the one distinguishing feature on the day of Pentecost when the day of Pentecost had fully arrived and they were fully immersed in it? They were all with one accord in one place. I mean, come on. Let me give a quick shout out, by the way, to Bobby. Bobby Evans saying hi to T and I. Love you too, Bobby. All right.
Hi, Bobby.
All right. Here's the thing to remember. They were all with one accord in one place. No, not a Honda Accord. They were all with one accord. They were in one mind, one heart. They were connected. They were united. And because they were united and because they were in one place, the outpouring takes place. I mean, if there is a lesson here for you and I to get, it's that they were all together. And I want you to understand what's going on. They're together. Guess what they did? That's what they were doing. You know, that we know they were praying. We know they were supporting one another. They were in high level of expectation of God doing something great. If you could just agree with all your other brothers and sisters, and all other brothers and sisters agree, this is a wonderful time for God to do something great. Isn't it? It's just a wonderful time for something great to happen in the kingdom of God. Like now. Like, please. Right? So they're all together with one accord. There's the outpouring that's going to take place. But just look, the day of Pentecost fully comes. 50 days later, they're united and bam. I mean, they were waiting for a miracle. They had great expectation. Especially coming out of Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 3. Okay, let's do it real quick. I think we're going to have somebody answer real quickly. Here we go. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hi, David. I thought somebody might have already answered this question, but...
That's okay, not- Mary. You tell everybody, what was that kind of animal that Peter found that coin in?
Well, it was really a water creature, not an animal.
Correct.
But anyway.
What do we call it?
Anyway, it was a fish.
That is right, Mary! It's a fish. I knew I'd have a problem with the animal part, but I just had to stick with it because it's kind of under the heading. I just always found this amazing that Jesus had coordinated that fish to be there ahead of time for when Peter went fishing for it. That's the most amazing thing.
To pay the tax.
Yep, that's for the tax.
That money, that coin that he found in the fish's mouth was to pay their tax.
That's right. Excellent job, Mary. Way to come in there and nail it down for me. I appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome. Okay, I'll hang up so you can continue talking, okay?
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, sweetest woman around. She's so sweet. All right, we're going to take our break here, and then we're going to come back to fish. I mean, just think about the fish. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Can't stand the skill, can't stand the shame. It may be false, but it feels the same.
Who is David Spoon? I have no idea. People have asked me about the David Spoon Experience. They wanted to know what I thought of him. Like any person searching for answers, I have wondered about him. He was born and raised Jewish, and after intense drug use, became a Christian. He's married to his best friend Noel, has 3 children, 6 grandchildren, plus a dog named Levi. He has 3 separate ordinations from 3 different denominations, and is a summa cum laude for his BA degree in ministry and leadership, as well as a master's degree of theological studies, and is involved in a PhD program. He has a weird sense of humor and talks a lot. If people are seeking wisdom and insight from the great teachers around the world, would they go to David? No, I don't think so. And those big ears really don't help him. But would they enjoy his perspective on life, culture, politics, food, sports, local and national news? I don't know. I guess people will have to listen to find out.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Then he says this, don't be afraid. Why should you not be afraid? Because what fear does is immobilizes a person, stops them from moving forward, and it also eats away at faith. Fear has this way. It's kind of like if you think of faith as, chocolate ice cream that has peanut butter in it. Okay? That's faith. Okay? Fear is like somebody drilling a hole underneath and then taking a little spoon and then pulling some of that faith down, a little scoop by scoop by scoop by scoop. And you don't want your faith reduced because God requires faith to us to engage with Him in. That's His requirement. That's the vehicle by which He has chosen to engage with humanity. You don't think God could have said, "It's me. You're going to believe, or I'm going to turn you into a fish." I mean, you don't think God could have done that? But he chose the vehicle of faith because that's what he wanted from those that would come to him. A confidence, an assurance in the goodness of God. So Jesus, the first thing he says, ignore it. Don't be afraid of it. And then he does this one radically crazy, nutsy cuckoo line. Just believe. And we use that in movies and in books and in fairy tales and all that stuff. We're not talking about any of that stuff. This is believing and looking at a situation just like Abraham did, just like we talked yesterday, how Abraham looked at the circumstance, didn't deny he was old, didn't deny he was past childbearing, and said, I'm just going to believe God anyway. That attitude of just believe, it's taking a stand in the framework of your faith that says, I'm not moving. Here I am. Call me Bulldog. I'm right here. I'm not going nowhere. My faith is solid. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. A couple things I want to bring up, then we'll do our next trivia question. Number one, I thought that was great because in that little clip that they played, I was talking about God could have turned us into a fish. And see, that answer on that last question that Mary brought to us was fish. I think that's hilarious. And I always found it amazing. I just love the thought process to think there's that fish in the water. And fish, you know, they don't exactly, you know, build a card table and sit down and play cards with one another waiting off the pier where somebody's going to go fishing. I mean, they're moving around, and yet the movement of that fish had to be timed exactly for when Peter went to get the coin, and it wasn't even a normal coin. So at first the fish had to pick up the coin, the fish had to deliver the coin to Peter, and then Peter had to catch the fish, so the fish had to let to be. I mean, that's just a lot of stuff for the fish. I don't know. High props for the fish. That's all I can say. Let's do our next trivia question. I think it's hilarious. Sorry. What foreign prophet had a talking donkey to ride on? What foreign prophet had a talking donkey to ride on? If you think you know the answer, 972-445-0770. That's the number you'll call, or you can text in 214-210-8483. Or again, you can email David at hemustincrease.org. What foreign prophet had a talking donkey? I love that donkey. All right, I got a couple of jokes. They are not the best. They're not the worst, but they're not the best. Not as good as yesterday. Yesterday was a really good joke.
Yeah, yesterday, you have to beat yesterday.
I'm not going to do that. It's not going to happen. I'm just telling you right now. In fact, give me the buzz ahead of time so that I can clear it out because these are just not as good as yesterday. Okay, thank you. All right. This is a very simple one, all right? The kindergarten teacher gave her class a show-and-tell assignment of bringing something to represent their faith, their beliefs. The first boy got in front of the class and said, my name is Benjamin, I am Jewish, and this is the Star of David. Wow. The second second girl got in front of the class. She said, my name is Mary, I am Catholic, and this is a crucifix. I was like, oh. The third boy got in front of the class, and he said, my name is Tommy, I am a Baptist, and this is a casserole. See, casserole, because he didn't like it. It's a casserole! It's Baptist. Okay. All right, I'm gonna give her that one. Here's another one. Now, let's see if you can follow this one. This is rather funny, but I've got to tell it right, so a little bit might be on me. A new pastor moved into town one Saturday to visit his parishioners. They all went well until they came to one house. It was obvious that someone was home, but nobody came to the door even after he had knocked several times. A little frustrated, he took out a card and wrote on the back of it, Revelation 3:20, which says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. The next day, he put that little sign on the door. The next day, as he was counting the offering, he found a card, his card, in the collection plate. And there was a message below his Revelation 3:20, which says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Underneath that read Genesis 3:10. And it said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked. He was naked. See. That's not that bad. Nope. Okay. Okay. I'm going to give you that one. I'm gonna acknowledge that. I'm going to send that her direction. She wins on that one. Okay. I'm just saying, that was not as funny as yesterday. It's making me laugh more, but it's not as funny. All right. We did that. Let's get back to the teaching. The question. All right. So which was the foreign prophet, which foreign prophet, so we're not looking for the donkey's name because we don't have it, had a talking donkey to ride on. Had a talking donkey to ride on. What was that prophet's name? Okay. Got people definitely responding to that one, and we appreciate that. Let's go back into the text. This is absolutely one of my favorite things, but more importantly, because of one word than anything else. Here's what the text says. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, right, they were all with one accord and in one place. Verse 2, suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind and filled the whole house where they were sitting. So I want you to, there's a lot of people, and you start getting into the deeper theologies, and we will, but first you have to enjoy the read. You have to read it and get what's going on, be there in the place, understand you got 120 plus people in an upper room, and they're all there together. They're in one accord, they're in one place, and it says, suddenly there came a sound from heaven. Let me at least address the word suddenly in the text, because this is a big issue for too many people. People think that God waits to the last hour to show his hand. That is not exactly how that goes, and I want to make sure you don't impute that to God as though that's what's going on. God's timing is perfect. What the problem is that our patience is terrible, and our sense of timing is really off the wall, and only God knows when each thing should manifest or come about at each moment. You might think that somebody's salvation should come in a certain time frame, in a certain way, but God knows much better if that salvation will last, so to speak, and be a part of that person's life forever, knowing what a person has to go through. There are many times where I've gone through various things and said to the Lord, I just don't understand why this has to be pushed out, or why this can't be done, or why this hasn't been accomplished. And just to be completely honest, there's that with everybody, there's that kind of sense of frustration that, oh, maybe we just do it this way, or maybe we can do it this way. But the reality check is there have been multiple times also when the Lord has brought it about in his perfect timing, and then you look at it and you think it's a perfect portrait, a perfect picture. It could not have happened better if it happened any other way. And so what we think of God as slow is just ridiculous, because especially scripture says God is not slow concerning his promises. And so when we say that, it's kind of a bad idea. So when this took place, I want you to know they're one in mind and one accord, and bam! When I use that bam as in like bam! Suddenly there came a sound from heaven. And I would like everybody to be aware that before we go anywhere else, because we're going to identify this, there was first, ready, a sound. Can you just, everybody just got to look at that. Okay, suddenly there came a sound from heaven. It's kind of like you're sitting in your living room, and this is like where we are in fate, and then we're standing there, and then all of a sudden we hear, that's a sound from heaven. This is like TV goes off, the lights go off, the dogs freak out. That's a sound from heaven, right? A sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled the whole house where they were sitting. So there's a couple things to tell you about that that's really important. Mighty wind, a very common symbol for the Holy Spirit. We get that in John chapter 3, verse 7 and 8. The mighty wind, that's the same word for breath. That's the same word for life. That's the same word that goes into Genesis 2, 7, where God breathed into Adam and he became a living being. The mighty wind, the mighty breath, the mighty power, bam, comes down, and the first function of the Holy Spirit, now watch this, is to give new life. Because once the Holy Spirit falls on these guys, once the Holy Spirit falls on these gals, once this happens, they will never be the same again. So the first function, it's the same thing. You know, that when God breathed into Adam, there's a passage in Job that talks about the breath of God being the Spirit of God. The idea, I think it's in 32, the idea, not 32, 30, but the idea behind this is to understand that the first function the Holy Spirit brings is he brings life, new life, and that comes through the power of a mighty wind. I mean, I just love it. I get excited because it's like, you know, it's cool. And if you were in the room and then this wind comes in, you'd be like, whoa. And it filled the whole house. So I'd like to say this because most people don't like this, but this is true. The presence of the Spirit is not limited to people. What? You heard me. It filled the whole house. It doesn't just say it filled on all the people. It filled the house. Sometimes you walk, if you read, especially in the Old Testament, they walk into the Shekinah glory. They walk into the place where the Lord dwells. The whole room is filled with his presence. He can go anywhere he wants. That's his manifested presence. You can't tell him. I can't tell him. We can't tell him. The presence of the Lord filled the entire floor. You've been there in church when that moment happens. The worship is something happens and everybody's in sync for one split second. And it's like heaven in here. It's like, yeah, everybody's gone through that. All right, what foreign prophet had a talking donkey to ride on? That would be our good friend Balaam of Moab. And that's coming out of Numbers chapter 22, verse 28. We're going to take our short break here and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Don't go anywhere. When confronted by the unimaginable, look at how some of the Bible heroes responded. Abraham's wife, Sarah, laughed when the Lord promised her a son in old age. Why did Sarah laugh? Is anything too hard for the Lord? The Lord answered. That's Genesis 18:13. Zechariah, priest in the temple, asked, "How can I be sure of this?" to Gabriel. "I am Gabriel," the angel answered. "I stand in the presence of God and have been sent to speak to you and tell you this good news." Luke, this is out of Luke 1:19. In other words, God was saying, God can do this. Mary exclaimed, "How are you going to do this?" when Gabriel brought her that great news of her son that she would bear. The angel assured her, nothing, with God, nothing will be impossible. Luke 1:37. The disciples questioned Jesus, and he answered them, "With men, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible." Matthew 19:26. The Lord reminded the prophet Jeremiah, "Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is anything too hard for me?" Jeremiah 32:27. If God be for us, who can be against us? Romans 8:31. Praise to him who is able. Listen, this is Ephesians 3:20. Praise to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Finally, when life just seems impossible, we can memorize and believe and agree with the Apostle Paul's conclusion of all his personal struggles, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me," which is in Philippians 4:13. Darkness comes. This is from John Piper, this next statement. Darkness comes. In the middle of it, the future looks blank. But with God, nothing is impossible. He has more ropes and ladders and tunnels out of pits than you can ever conceive of. So wait and pray without ceasing and hope. I think that this kind of thought process, it's not name it and claim it, it's just believing that God is the God that can do anything, is applicable for his kids to operate in when their situation seems impossible, that we deal in the truth of the possible that God brings.
You're here when I need you the most, when I need you the most.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Get ready for our next trivia question, another animal trivia question. Only, I will say Mary was right. The fish one wasn't really an animal per se. I'm just saying, but we did our best. What two animals owned by the Philistines carried the Ark of the Covenant back to Israel? Now, that is a challenging question. Your answer is going to be in 1 Samuel 6, if you want to track it down. What two animals owned by the Philistines carried the Ark of the Covenant back to Israel? Ooh, that's a good one. If you think you know the answer to that, don't hesitate to call us at 972-445-0770. Or you can text us at 214-210-8483 as we get ready to do a little bit of history. I'm trying to think if there's anything else I need to cover that's like super duper important. We already did the website once or twice. We did that. Let's see. Tomorrow, I'm still praying about what I'm doing tomorrow, the second section of the show, the 60 minutes. Then we got Ezra on Monday. I already told you I finished my class, got an A. That was good. Happy about that. But I already have another class. They already started my other class. It's like you end one class, you get your grade posted. I already have the assignments for the next class. That's all. It's just, and you can remember, you can't get anything less than an 80 some odd percent. It's just like, so it's like, when did they do all this? Who said school was easy? When did that happen? Somebody needs to help me. Okay. Again, what kind of animals? Okay. Joy Ann and Cordelia nailing it down early. What two animals owned by the Philistines carried the Ark of the Covenant back to Israel? Again, that is going to be in, 1 Samuel chapter 6. For those that want to look it up, let's do history real quickly. Let's have our history.
Let's go live in the past. Let's go live in the past.
I will tell you one thing. I will confess it. So this next class I have, I mean, it's going to be hard, but there's one book that they're requiring you to read. It's a A.W. Tozer book. I love A.W. Tozer. It's like, okay, I'll read that. Okay. It's like one of the few I don't have, and then they provide it for you. So it's just, I'm just so happy about it. All right, here we go. Here's for those that care about what the history is. Today is frog jumping day. I don't know what to do with that. Did you play with frogs?
Sounds like a good workout.
Yeah. I mean, there's going to be jumping. They should have a frog jumping workout video. Wouldn't they be jump like a frog, jump like a frog, jump like, no?
Hopefully it'll be about 30 seconds.
Yeah, no kidding. After a couple of jumps, it gets tiring. National Apple Pie Day, folks. Come on. National Apple Pie Day. It's
yummy.
I love apple pie. International Hummus Day. I know a lot of people don't like hummus. I like hummus, but I like it on like pretzel chips. It's just like one of those things. If you're not, no, she's okay. Don't say anything more to T. She might fall over. And then it's National Fruit Cocktail Day. When I was younger, that used to be dessert. It was either ice cream or like a thing of fruit cocktail that would open up and it'd be like, here you go, fruit cocktail. And then sometimes you had the Cool Whip. Cool Whip. Okay. Last of two things to tell you. This is amazing. This is an amazing statement. 100 years ago today, 100 years ago, the first religious radio broadcast took place 100 years ago today in the United States. The Calvary Episcopal Church began broadcasting on KDKA in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 100 years ago today. So that's an acknowledgement that everybody should have. And then also equally interesting, but much more comfortable, is in 1906, on this day, air conditioning, Willis Carrier was granted a patent for the modern style electrical air conditioner. That guy, I hope he got a medal. That's all I can say, because he should have if he didn't. Okay, trivia question that was on the board is, What two animals owned by the Philistines carried the Ark of the Covenant back to Israel? And if you don't know where that is, it's in 1 Samuel chapter 6, verses 7 through 12. I'm going to leave it there and let you answer it. I'll give the best answer that I can. If there's a variation on the answer, it's okay, people. We don't have to cry about it or freak out about it. So it's totally cool. All right, let's go past this. In verse 1 and 2, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. We already know wind is associated with God in multiple references in Scripture. It filled the whole house where they were sitting. The entire place was saturated with the presence of God. I just think that's a wonderful way to think of it that way. I mean, it was just incredible happening was taking place. Verse 3, then there appeared to be divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. So this is kind of an interesting switch or move in the text. Now watch this, okay? First, you get this definition of wind, right? And we know that wind is associated, there's an association there with God. Fire, there is also an association with God. And what people don't know is when they want to talk about the divinity of the Holy Spirit, they'll often go to Acts chapter 5, verse 12, where it talks about Ananias and Sapphira lying to the Holy Spirit. But here is another testimony to the divinity of the Holy Spirit in that the symbols for God, wind and fire, are both prominent as the Holy Spirit descends on people. Another divine biblical testimony about the divinity of the Holy Spirit, and yet another theological boost for understanding the Trinity and how important that is. Right here, they're there with it collected together in the name of Jesus Christ, praying to God, and the Holy Spirit comes, and the symbols are wind and fire, identifying the Holy Spirit as God. And it's just like, that's just great stuff theologically if you appreciate that kind of thing. Here's the next thing that's amazing about this whole element. The fire comes, right? We know it's a, by the way, it's a symbol of God, Hebrews 12, 29. And what does fire do? Fire is one of those things that the Lord does use from a cleansing or a purging process, and it's another function of the Holy Spirit. We already talked in the first 30 minutes about Jesus sanctifying us. That sanctification comes through the Holy Spirit working in our lives as we apply the word and as we pray, and God moves in our lives and challenges us to be more Christ-like. The first thing we talked about is the Holy Spirit bringing new life. The next thing the Holy Spirit also brings is a cleansing or a purging or a cleaning up of. That's another function of the Holy Spirit, that he helps you and I get more to be like Jesus. Glory by glory. A little bit of purging, a little bit of cleaning. And that's I know it sounds so redundant, but you must understand, that's another reason why we can't quench the Holy Spirit, why we can't grieve the Holy Spirit, because God effects his work in our lives through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is carrying on the ministry of Jesus on the earth while Jesus has ascended and is at the right hand of the Father. So the Holy Spirit cleans us up. Listen to what the text says. Then there appeared upon them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. Therein lies, and each of them. Now, I'm not a genius in English, but I can tell you when it says each of them, it means each of them. And you're thinking, well, each of the 11 or now 12, because Matthias, he's now part of it. Doesn't say that. It says each of them. It says everyone's included. I'm where the Holy Spirit is falling. Us too. When the gospel is proclaimed and the Holy Spirit falls upon us, we're all a part of that. And here's the kind of the mind blower. Ready? There's people that will argue, well, that was just for the 12. But it doesn't say that. Other people will argue, well, that's for the 120 that were there. Doesn't say that either. Is it the 12 or the 120? I don't know. I guess if you look at the scripture, you're going to make a choice. All I know is it says it fell on each of them. And then the next verse it says, and they were all filled. That just seems like more than the 12. I could be wrong, but I'm just saying that gives you a little bit of to ponder. If the Holy Spirit fell on all 120, that is some kind of movement with God. That does, though, explain a little bit more clearly why in that first sermon there would have been 3,000 people that responded. But that's a whole separate issue. What I want you to catch is the Holy Spirit is being acknowledged as divine, and the Holy Spirit's being poured out. And now this ministry that Jesus has established and worked on with his disciples and all the people that were connected to him, he is now continuing and furthering. And for those that don't understand that, the cornerstone is Jesus Christ, and it can be built on nothing else. It must be built on the redeeming work of Jesus Christ. But it's also built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. As each person is involved, building and building and building, what's the most amazing part about this is how this whole thing started with Jesus and a few disciples, and now it's growing. Remember in Daniel where it says that little rock became a mountain until it filled the whole earth? Well, this is that. And from this, by the way, millions and millions of people acknowledge Jesus Christ. It's so cool. When God pours out, it's just awesome. We must understand that. What two animals owned by the Philistines carried the Ark of the Covenant back to Israel? The primary or most simplistic answer was two cows. Could have been two she-cows or two mother cows. 1 Samuel chapter 6, verse 7 through 12, it was two cows, which I think, if I remember right, were both used in the sacrifice thereafter once they arrived in their proper destination. Okay? All right. Don't go anywhere. Got a lot more to go, a lot more to deal with, plus one more trivia question. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Be right back.
The David Spoon Experience is now run by He Must Increase Ministry. What this means is that we are no longer operating as a regular business, but as a nonprofit ministry that is devoted to increasing the ministry of Jesus Christ. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Bible believers, the wounded and forgotten believers, and the not yet believers through biblical truths. We are funded by listeners like yourselves and ministry partners that want to provide sponsorships for the show. Your donations are 100% tax deductible. And the great news is, if you donate to our ministry and help us advance the kingdom of God, we won't give you a thing. That's right, you'll get no special prize or gimmick. You won't ever get an anointed Bible or penny in acrylic so that you're never penniless, or a guarantee that you'll become rich just because you gave. Your giving will support our unique idea of biblical encouragement. And what you'll receive is a receipt for your giving at the end of the year. It's all about sowing and reaping. Cast your bread upon the water and it will return to you. And if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. But you'll be laying up treasures in heaven. And that's the most excellent place to receive the best return for the longest time on your investment. What happens if you don't give? Nothing. Except more commercials like this one. Let's spare everyone from more commercials like this one. Go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. And give if you're led to and if you're able to. Let's keep the show going and help increase its time and reach. You must like this show a little bit because, after all, you're hearing this commercial, right? Thank you.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
By the way, I found out just the other day, I know you don't know this, but I found out that I am one of the most hated people in the United States of America and in the world. Did you know that?
Because you're a middle-aged white guy?
Let me help you out here, son. Let me help you out. Not only am I a middle-aged white guy, by the way, thanks for the middle-age line. Thanks, pal. I appreciate that.
I'm not that far behind.
Okay, well, that's not the point. The point is, I'm also, ready? I'm also Jewish, okay? So I have a lot of people that don't like me right there. I'm Christian, so I have a lot of people that don't like me right there. I'm conservative. I have a lot of people that don't like me right there. I'm an American. Got a lot of people that don't like me right there. I mean, you see where we're going with this? And I have a talk show. So that's just, you put all those together.
You got me left. Yeah, I love you, buddy.
I mean, come on. You know, just because they love me doesn't mean they're right. And just because they hate me doesn't mean they're wrong. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Let's get ready for a very challenging trivia question. I'm telling you that ahead of time. There's no joking. This is a tough one, okay? That's all I'm going to tell you. What miraculous animals parted Elijah and Elisha? What miraculous animals parted Elijah and Elisha as Elijah was being taken up into heaven? What's the answer there? For those that are trying to track that down, I will tell you it's in 2 Kings chapter 2. 2 Kings chapter 2. If you think you know the answer, you can call in 972-445-0770, or you can text in 214-210-8483. Before we get into the final portion of the text, I mean, I could teach these four verses again next week and pull something completely different out, but I'm trying to give a kind of a base approach to it. Let's do a Greek word that we can all be aware of. Let's go ahead. There you go. Time for baklava. Here's Mark chapter 11, verse 22. So Jesus answered and said to them, "Have faith in God." The word faith in Greek is pistis. Pistis. It means conviction, confidence, trust, belief, reliance, trustworthiness, and persuasion. So the Greek word is pistis for faith. That's what it is. So faith in Greek is pistis, and it means conviction, confidence, trust, belief, reliance, trustworthiness, and persuasion. Okay, there we go. All right. I like that part. That's really good. All right, we did that. Let's do the website one more time just because it's probably a good idea to do that. Don't forget hemustincrease.org. Website hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. Okay, and then our trivia question, just in case you want to take a guess at it. What miraculous animals parted Elijah and Elisha as Elisha was being taken up into heaven? That's a toughie. That's a definite toughie one right there. Okay. I want to go back to the text, of course. We are talking about the coming of the Holy Spirit. This is Acts chapter 2. We've done verse 1, 2, and 3. We're going to go into verse 4 real quickly, but let me read it all together. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. Verse 4, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. There's a lot of people that want me to go into the tongue teaching, but I'm not doing that right now. Sufficient to say that these tongues did not need an interpreter, but the ones in 1 Corinthians 14 did. That's all you got to do. We'll get on that at some other point. But let's look at what it says. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. So the question goes back to, is it the 12 or is it the 120? And it's like, I don't know. Personally, It just seems like because they had a 3,000-person response, might have been more like the 120, but there's no guarantee of that in any capacity. The bottom line is, though, when the Holy Spirit falls on everybody. And this is what it says. So there's a couple of awesome things here. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So there's a third element here about the Holy Spirit that's all in Acts 2, 1 through 4, that people miss and they just kind of blow right by and you can't do that. The first one is to understand that the first function of the Holy Spirit is to give new life. The second function of the Holy Spirit is to clean us up, do a purging process. And the third ministry and function of the Holy Spirit, essentially, is empowerment for service. How can I say this in any other fashion that will make sense? I'm not sure. But you can't do the work of God apart from God. And God has given us his Holy Spirit to enable us to do the work of God and to reflect Jesus Christ. The difference is what the Holy Spirit does inside us has a lot more to do with character, and what the Holy Spirit does on us has a lot more to do with ministry. And that's, you just got to, that's not a perfect example, but it's a helpful example for us to understand, look, the Holy Spirit has work that he's doing in glorifying Jesus Christ, and a big part of that work is empowering us for service. Again, we can understand why we're not supposed to grieve and we're not supposed to quench. To quench is to tighten the pipe, and to grieve is to make sad. We don't want to make the Holy Spirit sad, and we don't want to tighten up the flow because we want to be empowered for service. When you have that opportunity to pray for somebody, what's most amazing is it probably starts by the unction of the Holy Spirit. When you have that opportunity to share the gospel, that's the Holy Spirit making those connections for that person to go ding, ding, ding as the gospel's being preached. The Holy Spirit does the work. We're the vessels, which is why we're called the temples. The Holy Spirit uses us. Now, people that don't like the phrase Holy Spirit, you should never read the book of Acts. Because that's the whole point. And it's important for us to understand, I think it's critical for us to understand, that whether it's just, you know, whether it's the fruit of the Spirit, I mean, when I pray on my daily prayer, so I pray that I would walk in the fruit of the Spirit. Let me just make sure that I say this right. I go through each of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. So there's 9 that are listed. It doesn't mean that's the only thing the Holy Spirit does. Those are the 9 that are listed. So you got love, joy, and peace. And I sit there and I ask the Lord, and I just, you know, I ask you for forgiveness for being disconnected from love at the wrong times. Because I get that way. Because I get disconnected from joy. I'm not happy in the kingdom. I'm not happy about anything. Well, guess what? I'm not walking in the fruit of the Spirit when that's happening. I need the Holy Spirit to help me do that. And for peace, which is the main thing, that reason that people medicate all over the world, is they don't have peace of mind. You see what I'm saying? So these are essential. So whether we're talking about any of that, whether you're talking about walking in love or whether you're talking about extraordinary faith for the moment, or whether you find yourselves in an absolutely bizarre supernatural situation, which I've been in my own life, all of those are Holy Spirit statements of grace. And every one of those has a purpose, and that purpose is to glorify Jesus Christ and bring honor to the Father. And that's what it's all about. That's why Jesus is at the center of all of it. So the Holy Spirit brings us new life. The Holy Spirit cleans us up. The Holy Spirit empowers us for service. Critical. All of these things are critical for us to walk it. And this is the beginning of the church. What's the word I'm looking for? Emerging from something insignificant culturally to getting ready to impact the world in the name of Jesus Christ. Think about that. And that's why when we pray, just seems like the better part of wisdom, especially since Jesus specifically taught this, you should pray, Lord, pour your Holy Spirit on me. Fill me up and fill me inwardly, fill me outwardly, and let me be sensitive. We talk about our DNA, you know, to be sensitive to God and to be sensitive to others. You need the Lord to help you do that. There's no question about that. And I can hear the audience going, you can talk about tongues? No. Not today. That doesn't mean not ever, just not today. Here's the bottom line. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit creates incredibly powerful ministry. We should ask God to help us to be sensitive and to be filled with, Ephesians 5:18, and to be connected to and in fellowship with, 2 Corinthians 13:14, the Holy Spirit. That's all. You have to make it more complex than it is. That's kind of how that goes. All right, so let's go back to the trivia question real quickly. What miraculous animals parted Elijah and Elisha as Elijah was being taken up into heaven? And the answer is horses of fire. There you go. 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 24. Horses of fire is what the beautiful and majestic animals were that helped create that. Today was a trivia questions about animals. Yeah, I don't know. That's why. Last thing to tell you, and then we'll go on to that, is be in prayer as we are seeking some direction for some additional direction for the show, different things that we're doing. And please be in prayer for our finances. We would greatly appreciate it. I'll close this out with a word of prayer. Hopefully the Lord will bless this for all of us. Father, we come before you and we ask you in the name of Jesus and by the power of your Spirit that you would let the truths that you want to resonate into our minds and hearts, stick in us like glue, and be something that we can use to bring glory to your name, not just now, but until the moment we hear the trumpet blow. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Taking a 22 and a half hour break, then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
The views expressed on the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.